All right, then we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Pei. We're beginning at Ayin Tes Amud Beis, 79B. The two dots, six lines up from the bottom. Imer Chatz. Remember, again, we saw this parak we started yesterday. So we're getting into the discussion in terms of what types of nedarim does the husband actually have the right to annul, and which nedarim does he not have the right to annul. So remember, again, in the Mishnah, everyone agreed in principle that the husband has the right to annul what we call nidre inui nefesh. Nidarim ultimately that pose some type of affliction to the woman who is making them. The shayla, of course, was, what's the definition of affliction? So the Mishnah's example was, im erchatz v'im lo erchatz. Right? If I go ahead and I wash or I don't wash, I bathe or I won't bathe. So Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not a self-afflicting, that's not an afflictive neder. So we're not going to analyze this a little bit. So Gemara says, im erchatz, hechi kamer, what exactly is the neder that is being made over here? So if you want to say that she's saying, all the fruits of the world should be ushered to me if I wash, if I bathe. So lama lahafara, why does he need to annul it for her? After all, lo tirchatz v'lo lisran peros olam. Let her not bathe. Right? Let her not bathe, and the fruit won't become usher. Meaning, what's the big deal? She doesn't have to trigger the nether. So the Gemara says, v'lo lisran peros olam elu alo. V'od, furthermore, baha leim Rabbi Yossi, ein elu nidre inui nefesh. So furthermore, how could Rabbi Yossi say over here that these are not considered to be nidre inui nefesh? These are not considered to be afflictive nidarim. Dilma rachtza v'isru peros olam alo. Because perhaps she will bathe, and if she does bathe, peros olam, all the fruits of the world will be ushered to it. Which Rabbi Yossi already, even in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said a neder like that is what? Is indeed an afflictive neder. Meaning, to aser all peros, we'll see, according to Rabbi Yossi, asering bathing, for some reason we'll discuss, is not considered to be an afflictive neder, but asering peros is considered to be inui nefesh. So if I say the case that we're dealing with over here is where she says, all of the fruits of the world should be ushered to me if I wash, so then why should the husband have the right to annul that neder? After all, again, let her not wash and she won't trigger the prohibition. And according to Rabbi Yossi, why would Rabbi Yossi say that this is not a neder of inui nefesh? After all, if she does wash and she triggers the neder, that will be inui nefesh, ve'ela tap of pei, ve'ela de amra, konam hana'as rechitza alai li'olam, imerchatz. Rather, what's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is where she says, the hana'a of rechitza should be, the hana'a of bathing should be usher to me, im erchatz, if I bathe. So we're changing this around over here a little bit. So we're saying the case over here is, if I bathe, let's say now, if I bathe today, so bathing will be usher to me forever. All right, so the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Now we understand why this is considered to be an afflictive neder and why the husband has the right to annul it. Because let's play this out. What are her options? Tirchatz, if she bathes today, then what? Then misra hana'as rechitza ala. Then ultimately, what happens if she bathes today? She bathes today, she triggers the neder. If she triggers the neder, then she can't bathe forever. Lo tirchatz, if she doesn't bathe today, is la nivula. Then Rabbi says, so nivul means she'll become disgusting, right? If she doesn't bathe, she's going to compromise her own physical hygiene. So therefore, again, that's why the Tanakhama holds that if she makes a neder like that, that's called inui nefesh. Why is it called inui nefesh? Because she has no options. If she bathes today, then she triggers a neder that she can't bathe forever. If she doesn't bathe today, the Tanakhama holds that ultimately that's disgusting also. And therefore, again, lemaisa, there's no choice. It's afflictive either way. And that's when the husband has the right to go ahead and annul the neder. So when the neder is inherently afflictive, no matter which direction she chooses, that's when husband has the right to go ahead and annul the neder. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Sava, Rabbi Yossi says, I don't know, ef shar delo rachza, Rabbi Yossi says that it's okay, let her not bathe. Ulanivo lo chayshinon, and we're not concerned that she's going to become disgusting. But we'll say, so you have to understand something. Obviously, this sounds very strange to us. But obviously in Talmudic times, so bathing patterns are very different. And I both say it wasn't uncommon that people did not bathe on a frequent basis. Furthermore, again, remember, the use of perfumes was very common, not just like to mask body odor. So Rabbi Yossi apparently is of the opinion that if she doesn't bathe, she doesn't bathe, and therefore he doesn't feel this to be an inherently afflictive neder, and because of that, husband does not have the right to go ahead and annul the neder. But say, if you look in the Rush, so in the Rush, on the right-hand side of the page, I think, yeah, mm-hmm. Good.
This is to her or to him?
This is both. Either way, correct. So take a look at the Rashi just a moment. So you see the first Rashi there, Ela do Amra Hanos Rechitza Alei Li Olam Amerchatz Usfira Lei Hashta De Rechitza Have Inui. According to the Tanakhama, so Rechitza, or I should say, the lack of Rechitza is going to be afflictive in nature. Upam Achas Yechola Lirchotz Beheter. So remember, the way we're setting it up now is the first time she'll be able to bathe in a permitted fashion. But the problem, of course, is that once she bathes the first time, she triggers the neder, and ultimately any subsequent bathing will be aser. Hilchach mefer la le'alter. The rabbanon de amri lekaman de ba mefer apa pishlachal neder. So therefore, again, the husband is able to go ahead and annul the neder immediately. And I will say the Rush brings up something interesting, which we're not getting into now. Even though in certain respects he's proactively annulling the neder, because the neder has not yet even taken effect. Remember, because the neder is, if I go ahead and I wash today, so what happens? If I bathe today, bathing will be usher to me forever. So the Rabbanan say that he could annul that neder now. Even though what? The neder hasn't actually taken effect. Because the neder doesn't really take effect unless what? Unless she bathes. See, he's actually annulling the neder before the neder has been articulated. Normally, when you articulate a neder, what happens? The neder goes into effect right then and there. The novelty here, according to the Rabbanan, is that Lamaisa, she's articulated the neder. The neder has not yet gone into effect, but he is still permitted to annul it even before it goes into effect. We'll see this later on. There's another opinion, Rabbi Nosson, who says that a husband can't actually go ahead and annul the neder until when? Until the neder takes effect. According to Rabbi Nosson, therefore, the way you would need this to play out is she would make the neder. The neder is, if I bathe today, bathing should always become usher to me. So according to Rabbi Nosson, what's the process? She bathes, triggers the neder, and then the husband is able to annul. So this is not material to our conversation right now. The Rush is just like bonus material. The Rush is throwing this in on the side, but look at the end of this Rush. Rabbi Yossi savar efshad l'rachtza. Rabbi Yossi says, no, this is not a case where the husband has the right to annul. It's for a simple reason. Let her not bathe. We'll see, Rabbi Yossi's shita is that that not being able to bathe is not considered to be afflictive in nature. Again, I will say, it's not, this is just Rabbi Yossi's svara. We'll see, by the way, where it is based, we'll get it from Yom Kippur in a little bit, but the idea Rabbi Yossi says is that people can live with this. Inui nefesh seems to be something that people can't live with. People apparently can live with the lack of bathing. Fine, back to the Gemara.
The fact so, that a woman is prohibiting herself from washing where there are times where she'll need to, whether it's for nida, whether it's...
That's not rechitza. Tevila is not rechitza.
No, but
you have
to do rechitza before you do
tefillah.
Not midaraisa.
But this is hanos rechitza.
Right. So this could be, right, it wouldn't cover obligatory rechitzas that she would have to do. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara is setting up this case in a very specific way, where she is saying that if I bathe today, rechitza will become usher to me forever. So according to the Tanakhama, it's afflictive, therefore husband has the ability to annul it. Again, machlokes, if she has to trigger the neder, not Rabban or Rabbi Nasan, not for now. Rabbi Yossi says it's not afflictive, therefore husband can't annul it. Ihachi, if that's the case, listenihachi, why don't you say the following? Rabbi Yossi Omer, tenai zeh, ein bo inui nefesh. So we'll say, what the Gemara is pointing out is the following. If that's the case, then really this is not a typical case of a neder. This is a case of a tenai. Because remember again, she's not just making a neder. Right? She's not just saying konam zu, right? Or hare zu. She's making a tenai. If I bathe today, then bathing will be ushered to me. So what they're arguing about is what? Is the tenai inui nefesh or not? Because, right, remember again, the act itself, What the act is an act of bathing, right? The tanai is what's problematic. So if that's the case, why doesn't the Mishnah say Rabbi Yossi holds that this tanai ain't bo inui nefesh? I mean, why do they make it sound? It's not really about the neder as much as it's about the tanai. Look at the Ran Rabbi Yossi for just a moment. So again, it's in the Ran in the third wide line. Ihachi listening to Rabbi Yossi tanai ze ain't bo mishum inui nefesh. Perish Harav Rabbeinu Yonah the hashda the tana ain elu nidre inui nefesh. Demashma de mishum shein haneder inui nefesh lo yafer aval inadra midi the ispa inui nefesh yafer velesa kevan de tina leke inui nefesh afilu nadra beperos olam lo yafer. We'll say now what he's pointing out of though here is the following. Let's say she were to say that if I bathe today, then ultimately all the peros olam should be usher to me. So we'll say, see, Rabbi Yossi would still say in that case that she can't annul the vow. Why? Because the mice of the Tanai itself is saying it doesn't have inui nefesh, because bathing doesn't have inui nefesh involved in it. So if that's the case, why does the Mishnah phrase it in terms ultimately of the neder? It should really be phrasing it that the machlokis is really about the Tanai. Ella, Rabbi Gemara says, you're right, that's not the case. Ella da amra hana'as rechid salai li'olam im erchat hayom. Listen to this. Rather, what's the case? She says that the benefit of rechitza should be prohibited to me forever. Hanas rechitza alai liolam im erchatz hayom. If I go ahead and I wash today, so we'll say, look at the Ran for just a moment. Ela da amra hanas rechitza alai liolam im erchatz hayom udla tanakama nivol dechad yoma shmei nivol umishum hachi yafer. So let's listen to this. So what's the case? So she says, bathing will be usher to me forever if I bathe today. In other words, that she's prohibiting herself from bathing today. So now let's play this out. So the Tanakama holds that up to a withholding of bathing today is going to be nivel. Therefore, that's inui nefesh. And because that husband has the right to annul it, Rabbi Yossi savar nivel dechad yoma. Lo shmei nivel. Now this actually is a little bit more of a tolerable and understandable shita. Rabbi Yossi perhaps would agree that not bathing forever is nivel, right? But what does Rabbi Yossi hold in a case of which he doesn't bathe for a day? Fine, we can get by with that. Therefore, again, that's not called inui nefesh because it's not called inui nefesh. Therefore, the ma'isa again, it is not an annullable neder. Yossi saver nivel dechad yoma lo shmei nivel. So the Gemara says, Shanis im Erchatz. So we'll say, so now, you've told me what the case of Erchatz is. So now you've defined the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is where she says, bathing is prohibited im Erchatz Hayom. I'm sorry. So, Amahanas Rechitza Alay Liolam im Erchatz Hayom. If I bathe today, so bathing should be prohibited to me forever. In other words, so what she's essentially saying is, I'm not going to bathe today. Tanakama holds, so that's called inui nefesh, that's called afflictive in nature, because even abstaining from bathing for one day is afflictive. Therefore, again, husband has the right to annul it. Rabbi Yossi holds that what? Abstaining from bathing for one day is not afflictive in nature, and therefore husband does not have the right to annul it. Fine. So says the Gemara, Shonis im Erchatz. You have defined for me what the case of im Erchatz, if I bathe, is. Imlo erchatz hechi dami, because we will say the way we read the Mishnah is the Mishnah said the elu nedarim shehu mefer. These are nedarim that a husband has the right to go ahead and annul. Im erchatz the imlo erchatz. And again, those are talking about two different cases. If I bathe, if I don't bathe. So we define the if I bathe case. The if I bathe case is I hereby take a neder that if I bathe today, bathing should be usher to me forever. So we've established then essentially what she's saying is she's prohibiting herself from bathing today. Tanakama holds inui nefesh, therefore annullable. Rabbi Yossi holds no inui nefesh, therefore not annullable. Fine. What's the case of imlo erchatz? What's the case of if I don't bathe? Zeichi dami, what's the case? So it says the Gemara, ilema da amra, titsar hana'as rechitza li olam alai, imlo erchatz hayom. So if you want to say the following, maybe she's saying like this. Bathing should be usher to me forever. The benefit of bathing should be usher to me forever if I don't bathe today. In other words, if I don't bathe today, then the benefit of bathing should be usher to me forever. So it says the Imam, I understand. If that's the net that she's making, lam lafar, why do you have to annul it? I'll give you just a better suggestion. What? Tisachi, just bathe. Just bathe. Because if she bathes today, then what? Then the neder itself is never triggered. Why do I need hafara at all? Amra Yehuda, because what's the case? Da amra, hana'as rechitza alai li olam, im lo erchatz b'mei mishra. Oh, what's the case? Where she says, the benefits for bathing should be usher to me forever. Where what? Unless what? Unless I go ahead and bathe b'mei mishra. I'll say, mei mishra is water in which you soak flax. So that water is disgusting. The water is putrid. So what she says over here is, if I don't bathe today in mei mishra, if I don't bathe today in flax water, then lemaisa, that'll go ahead and trigger the neder, and I won't be able to bathe for the rest of my life, or whatever that means, liolam. So we'll say, so that's a case of where what? Where the neder ultimately is afflictive in nature. The neder is afflictive in nature. So take a look. The kavase diktani, so we'll say, take a look at, take a look at the Ran quickly. So the Ran says, in lo erchatz b'mei mishra, it's the third line in, says the Ran, ma'im shesharin bahen pishtan, shein tzruchim, it's water in which you soak flax, and the water is disgusting, shein tzruchim b'yoser, dehechi tavid, what should she do? Tirchatz b'mei mishra, ikoy inoy, because again, remember, if she goes ahead and she bathes in the mei mishra, in the flax water, it's disgusting, there's affliction, lo tirchatz, but if she doesn't bathe in it, misra hana'as rechitza aloh, ultimately, bathing will become asrata. So we'll say, here's a case then. This, remember, we're just trying to figure out what the positive is. Imerchat. So here in this case, she's saying, bathing will be asrata to me forever if I don't bathe in mei mishra, if I don't bathe in the flax water. So either way you cut it, there is going to be affliction over here if she does bathe. So the act of bathing in the flax water is afflictive in nature. And of course, if she doesn't do it, then the neder being triggered ultimately of never being able to bathe again is also afflictive in nature. Dikavase, the parallel case to this would be diktani imlo eskashet. Remember again, the parallel case to this is a woman who makes a neder about adorning herself with makeup. So the Gemara says imlo eskashet benaf. So the parallel case would be if a woman makes a neder, putting on makeup should be ushered to me forever if I don't go ahead and put on nafta. Right? If I don't put on naphtha, I will say, so naphtha is disgusting. So, lichluchu, that can't be because that's not called kishut. Right? The act, remember, adorning oneself means putting something on oneself to make oneself look beautiful. The act of applying the naphtha ultimately is disgusting. To which the Gemara says, Amra Yehuda, the Amra, what's the case? Hana'as rechitza li olam alai, im erchatz hayom, ushvua shalo erchatz. Oh, what's the case, Abosai? The case is where she says, the Hana'a of Rechitza should be usher to me forever. Hana'a's Rechitza li olam alai, if I wash today. So Abosai, so this is the parallel. So this is the parallel. So meaning, if I wash today, then ultimately again, so Rechitza should be usher to me forever. Ushvua shalo erchatz. And again, I take a shvua that ultimately I will not bathe. So what's the case here? Take a look at the Ran again. Ella da amra hana'as rechitza alai li olam im erchatz ushvua shlo erchatz, writes the Ran. The hashda lo tzrichi lo okma ba'omeres im erchatz hayom. So we don't have to set up the case as a situation where she's saying, if I wash today, ella ba'omeres im erchatz stama. Rather, the case over here is what we're both saying. She's ultimately saying, if I wash, period. Right? If I wash at all, the li olam mashma. We're both saying, this sounds like what? This sounds like that this neder ultimately devolves upon her forever. If she says, Hana'as rechitza li olam alai im erchatz hayom. The Tanakama savar di yishpa inui nefesh. Tanakama holds that this is an afflictive neder. Rabbi Yossi savar de lespa inui nefesh. And Rabbi Yossi holds that such a neder, because again, remember, Rabbi Yossi the shitaso, that lack of bathing is not by definition afflictive. Veleka lemifra chashta kidebarachinon. Listening to Rabbi Yossi Omer Tanai Zeh. Alright, so we'll have to do the rest of this run. So go back to the Gemara, right across in the Gemara. Therefore, again, if we look at the parallel case, Hana'as kishut alai. So we'll say, so what's the case of the kishut of where she's making a neder, prohibiting herself from adorning herself? Oh, so the case will be the following. Hana'as kishut alai li olam. The benefit of adorning myself should be asher li olam. Im es kashet hayom. If I go ahead and I make myself, if I adorn myself today, ushvua shelo eskashet, and I will say ultimately again, I take a shvua that I will not go ahead and adorn myself. So the Gemara says, fine. So we'll say, so now we've established are the cases. We've established the case ultimately of bathing. We've established the case of kishul. Now the Gemara just says, by the way, you threw in shavua over here. Why did you throw in shavua? Amar li Ravina l'Ravashi, hai elu nidarim u'shavuos mi baile l'misne. We'll say, but now that you're including shavua in here, so ultimately, again, the Mishnah should have said that these are the cases of nidarim and shavuos. Yet the Mishnah only spoke about what? Only nidarim and not shavuos. You have to amend the Mishnah to read that these are the cases of afflictive nedarim and shavuos. The other possibility is shavuos nami hainu nedarim. The other possibility is that sometimes a shavua is also called a neder. Where do we see that sometimes a shavua is also called a neder? This not because we learned. Kinijay Rishon, we had this case earlier. We have this case much earlier. Kenidre Rishon Nader. Let's say a person makes a neder, and the way he formulates his neder is Kenidre Rishon. This should be like the vows of the wicked. Nader, Benazir ubekarban ubeshvua. Now what's the case over here? So let's say Shimshon Hanazir is walking by, and I see him, and I say, oh, I should be like the Nidre Rishon. So let's say, remember we saw this before. What does the Nidre Rishon mean? Remember, because we saw it's only Rishayim who make Nidarim, right? According to at least one opinion or some opinions. The idea is that Tzadikim don't make Nidarim because ultimately they realize the severity of Nidarim and the detrimental nature of Nidarim. So if I see Nazir walking in front of me and I say, oh, it should be Kinidre Rishayim, but I say that's another way of saying what? I too am a Nazir. Or for that matter, Karban, if I go ahead and there's an animal in front of me and there's another sacrificial animal next to it, and I say that animal, the chulin animal, should be Kinidre Rishoyim, should be just like the vows of the wicked. That means I'm obligating that, I'm vowing that Karban, vowing that animal to become a Karban. Ubishvua, the case of Shua Rabo say is what? That let's say I say there's a loaf of bread in front of me, and I say Kinidre Rishoyim la'ochal. Right, like the vows of the wicked, I will not eat. Ultimately, that constitutes a shvua not eat. So I'll say, like the vows of the wicked represents ultimately an expression, interestingly enough, of taking a neder, because it's only those who are not scrupulous with halacha that ultimately take nedarim. So what's the point of this gemara? The point of this line is that you see that a formulation of kinidre rishayim could actually affect the shavua. Therefore we understand why colloquially sometimes shavuos are actually called nedarim as well, since under certain circumstances you could even affect the shavua with the lashon neder. Therefore again, even though the Mishnah only mentioned Nidarim, included in these cases of Nidarim are also cases of Shavuos. Okay, so this is the Gemara. So now we're going to go back for just a moment. Remember, the fundamental machlok is between between the Ravana and Rabbi Yossi, was whether or not abstention from Rechitza, abstention from bathing, is called Inui. And again, whether it's called affliction. And the Nafkamin, the practical difference between those two shitos is what? Is if you hold that rechitza is inui, if you hold that it's afflictive in nature not to bathe, then by definition, husband has the right to go ahead and annul those nedarim as they relate to bathing. On the other hand, if you don't hold that it's afflictive, then Lamai's second husband does not have the right to go ahead and annul those nedarim. Rabbi Yossi holds abstention from bathing is not afflictive. The Rabbanon hold it is. So it says the Gemara, Va'amur Rabbanon, is that true that the rabbis hold that if the woman doesn't bathe, that's called inui nefesh, that's called afflictive? Or mini, I'm going to ask you a kasha on that. Listen to this. Says the Gemara by Yom Kippur, even though you can't do any of the five prohibited activities, right? You also remember on Yom Kippur, one can't eat, drink, wear leather shoes, bathe, ointments, bathing and ointments, and marital relations. So even though, again, all of these things are asr, the Gemara says, "Ein anush kares ela ba'ochel v'shosa." Interestingly enough, there is only kares for what? Eating and drinking. So a person wears leather shoes on Yom Kippur, a person engages in marital relations on Shabbos, there's a prohibition, but there's no kares. There's only kares, ultimately, again, for achil and shtiyah, only for eating and drinking. One additional example. If you do malacha on Yom Kippur, right? You light a fire on Yom Kippur, there's also a chiv kareis. Bilvad. V'i amrit kilo rachza ika inui, piyamiki porim ki rachatz, the chayiv kareis. But if you say that when there is no bathing, Rabbanon, this is a kash on the Rabbanon. If you, Rabbanon, say that when there is no bathing, so no bathing represents inui nefesh, then what? Then lamaisa again, if someone bathes on Yom Kippur, then what should be the halacha? There should be chiyuv karzos. Also remember, the mandate on Yom Kippur is v'inisem es nafsho sechem. You're supposed to go ahead and afflict yourself. So therefore again, if you're telling me that not bathing is afflictive in nature, so that means if you bathe on Yom Kippur, you're engaging in something that is physically pleasurable and enjoyable, like eating and drinking. Therefore, if it's pleasurable like eating and drinking, it's just like eating and drinking, you're chayiv kares. So bathing, you should also be chayiv kares. But also, you know that that's not the halacha. The halacha is you're not chayiv kares if you bathe on Yom Kippur. So therefore, again, the question assumes, therefore, that the Rabbanan's premise is flawed. And therefore, again, perhaps lack of bathing does not really entail inui. Amar Rava, Rava says, no. Rava says, Amar Rava, the truth is, we have to analyze the pasuk. On Yom Kippur, it says you are supposed to afflict yourselves. So, therefore, again, and milsa de yada inuya hashta, rechitza lo yada inuya hashta. Rabosa, the only things that you are chayiv for karis on Yom Kippur are forms of affliction that you feel the affliction right now. Meaning what? Eating and drinking. So a person feels the effects of not eating and drinking right on that day of Yom Kippur. Therefore, again, if one goes in and engages in those acts now of eating and drinking, therefore one takes away the inui, therefore one's chayv karis. Plus, here's what's interesting. When do you feel the afflictive impact of not bathing? The truth is, it's not really today. First of all, you just showered right before Yom Kippur. It's not today. When do you begin to feel the afflictive impact of not bathing? It'll be tomorrow. Therefore, again, by definition, so not bathing on Yom Kippur, although yes, it falls under the umbrella of inui, but the only things for which you are chayiv kares are things for which the inui is felt on the day itself, which is only achil and shtia. Inui that would only be felt later on, you're not chayiv kares if you go out and you violate that on Yom Kippur. However, gabi nedarim, when it comes to nedarim d'chsiv, kol nedar v'chol shvuas iser la'anos nafesh. The pasuk says, any neder or any shvua that will cause inui nefesh. What does that mean? Milsa de asile lidui inui. So we'll say, see, when it comes to nedarim, so a husband has the right to annul any neder that's what? That can lead to affliction. Even if what? Even if what? Even if it's not afflictive in nature this moment. V'chilo rachza asya lidei inui. And therefore, again, ultimately, if she does not bathe, it will come to a state ultimately of inui, even though there's not necessarily inui now. So therefore, the Gemara says, your kasha from Yom Kippur is not a valid kasha because it's apples and oranges. On Yom Kippur, the only types of inui that you're chayiv kares for, if you violate them, are the types of inui that are felt right now. That's only achilu and shtiyah, it's only eating and drinking. But inui that's felt later on, like not bathing, which you'll feel later on, lemaisa again, not chayiv kares if you violate that. Nedarim, however, the lashon ha-pasuk is that the husband has the right, or father has the right, to annul any neder that can lead to inui nefesh. V'rami d'Rabbi Yosi, d'Rabbi Yosi. But yet again, we could also, so that was the kasha on the Rabbanon. The Gemara says now, we could also contrast the position of Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi say? Remember, Rabbi Yossi was the one who held that lamaisa, not bathing, is not inui. Right? Abstention from bathing is not inui, and therefore again, a husband would not have the right to annul that neder. So Gemara says, is that true? Listen to this case. Ma'ayon shel b'nei ha'ir. Listen to this. Let's say there is one well. One well. If you take a look at, actually, you can take even a look at Rashi over here. So Rashi says, Ma'ayon shel b'nei ha'ir, shemo sheikh v'holeich li'ir acheres. So also, if you can imagine, you have city A and city B. City A and city B are sustained from the same well. The well is in city A, and the water runs to city B. The case over here is, it turns out there's not enough water for both cities. So the shayla is, what rights does city A have to essentially dam off the water from city B and sustain themselves? It's an interesting discussion. So says the Gemara, listen to this. So Mayan shel b'nei ha'ir, chayein v'chayachin, chayein komim, v'chayachin, I'm supposed to listen to this. Saloch l'maisa, if there is only enough water in the well to sustain the residents of city A, then city A has the right to dam off the well and prevent it from going to city B. Why? Because the lives of the residents of city A, come before the lives and the residents of City B. It's Chayecha Kolmin. Your life comes before someone else's life. I will say, if you take a look, by the way, at Tosis on the bottom of the page, so Tosis says something very interesting. Chayein Kolmin, didarshinan, v'chay achicha imach. The Pasuk says that you should allow your brother to live with you. A reference to tzedakah. You should make sure your brother is okay, he lives with you. But we dash it from that, that's what? Your brother, you have an obligation to bless you, to support, to sustain your brother with you, which presupposes that what? Right? That you're alive. Therefore, the Gemara comes up with the term chayecha kolmin. Your life comes before someone else's life. Right? We both say the famous mashal. This is, you know, when the airplane cabin, you know, depressurizes. Right? You put on your own mask, and then you put on the mask of the child afterwards. Again, that's also for different reasons, that a person has to be able to act level-headed. But from a halachic perspective, right, ultimately, again, when there's a choice of resources between my life and another's life, ultimately, I don't know if it applies, I don't think any parent necessarily apply this to children, but let's say with two other individuals, ultimately, again, my life comes before someone else's life. Therefore, if there's only enough water in City A to support City A, they could dam off the well, prevent the water from going to City B. On the other hand, behemtam, ubehema sachir, behemtam kodal. So let's say there's enough water to sustain the residents of City A and City B, but only enough to sustain the livestock of City A, not the livestock of City B. Again, what's that lacha? So behemtam kodemus lebehema sachir. So City A has the right to prevent City B from watering their flocks in order to sustain the flocks of City A. Fine. Kavisasan u kavisas achirim. Kavisasan kodemus lekavisas achirim. So let's say again, there's enough water to sustain the residents, but there's only enough water for the laundry of City A. Not enough water for the laundry of City B. So again, the laundry of City A comes before the laundry of City B. So you see, the paradigm is very simple here, right? That the needs of City A come before the needs of City B.
That doesn't mean that the kavisa of City A comes before the drinking.
So now, again, what happens if it's a choice between ultimately the lives of the residents of City B and the laundry of City A? Then, of course, then of course the lives of the residents of City B comes before the laundry of City A. Rabbi Yossi is going to knock your socks off. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kvisasan kodemes lechai achirim. Rabbi Yossi says, no. The laundering needs of City A come even before the lives of the residents of City B. So what's going on over here? So hashta kavisa am Rabbi Yossi yesh batzar guf kulo. I'm sorry, hashta yesh batzar. So obviously, what Rabbi Yossi is saying is laundering clothing is absolute necessity. And if you don't launder the clothing, there's going to be incredible tzar for the residents of City A. So we'll say, if he's going to say that about laundering clothing, then what? Gufo lo kol shekein. Then what is he? And then of course it goes without saying that what? That bathing one's body, of course, is a necessity. And Rabbi Yossi is a kasha. Because Rabbi Yossi just said before that what? Lack of abstention from bathing is not inui nefesh. I'm sorry?
Only for one day.
That was according to one opinion. But remember, the first was Rabbi Yossi. Right? The first was Rabbi Yossi had us that even bathing in general. So let's say, so now we're saying Rabbi Yossi says that literally, can you imagine this? The residents of City A could withhold life-sustaining water for the residents of City B in order that the residents of City A could launder their clothing. So if Rabbi Yossi says the abstention from laundering clothing is so severe, then I would assume that what? That certainly, that bathing is certainly indispensable. So how could he say it's not a yinei nefesh? Listen to this. Kavisa alima de Rabbi Yossi. So which the Gemara says, you're right, kavisa, actually laundering clothing, according to Rabbi Yossi, is even more important than bathing. Listen to this. The Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel said, hi, arbuvisa deresha. It will say, arbuvisa literally means uncleanliness. The Ran says over here, arbuvisa deresha, shkisheinu misarik rosha tamid umitoch kach ika arbuvisa resha. When you don't comb your hair regularly, he's talking over here about lice, right? So when there's uncleanliness in the head, so what happens? Hi arbuvisa deresha, masia lide avira. It could lead to blindness. Arbuvisa dimani. Similarly, again, if you have uncleanliness of clothing, Rabbi say again, whatever this is talking about, dirtiness and insects or whatever else that could come. So, hi arbuvisa dimani. Well, so remember again, they had to de-louse their clothing also relatively frequently. So, if you don't go ahead and clean your clothing, so masya lide shamumisa, it leads to dementia. Leads to craziness. Arbuvisa de gufa. Mas yalide shichni vikivi, and ultimately uncleanliness of the body leads to boils and sores. And Rabbi said, what's the chap over here? So now you see, according to Rabbi Yossi, and this is fascinating, that actually not laundering your clothing is more afflictive than not laundering, than not bathing. Why? Because not bathing leads to sores and boils. Very uncomfortable, but what? But what? It heals. On the other hand, again, this not laundering the clothing, ultimately, according to Rabbi Yossi, leads to some compromised mental state, which is irreversible. Therefore, you see where Rabbi Yossi takes an extreme shita and says that laundering clothing is life-sustaining activity. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi actually holds that lemaisa again. Residents of City A would be able to withhold the water from City B in order to launder their clothing, because if they don't launder the clothing, it's mamish, sakonas nefashos. Therefore, it's not a stira. Therefore, it's not a contradiction. Rabbi Yossi still is l'shita, so he holds that not bathing is not afflictive in nature. That's not called inui nefesh. But interestingly enough, not laundering your clothing would absolutely not only be inui nefesh, but would what? Would potentially be sakanas nefesh. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up. Just so you should know, I know we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi in this case. In the case of the Mayod, we actually hold that lemaisa again. That also understand, we don't understand, we're very spoiled. I mean, many, many ways, this is true. Right? But, you know, for us, like, the big challenge is, like, the 9 days. What's going to happen with laundry over the 9 days? Right, everybody? I told you the number of shilas I get with 9 days laundry. Like, you would think that mamish, like, who knows what's happening. You know, what do? We go downstairs, you launder clothing. Laundering clothing was a much bigger deal. So, you know, the sheet of Rabbi Yossi sounds crazy to you, but understand spread of disease through unlaundered, unwashed clothing was rampant. So this idea of Rabbi Yossi says that not laundering your clothing is sakanas nefashos. Again, you could, whatever the dementia piece is, the point that he was trying to make is that there's mamish sakana. We paskin, of course, that City A can withhold water from City B in order to sustain themselves, but after that, both cities have the right to use the water equally in order to sustain their residents. All right, so we'll step over here, pick up Hey Aleph tomorrow. I'm sorry?
This, of course, is why they developed
dry cleaning.
Rabbi Silver, didn't they also clean their...